Well, I'm going to come on again and read one or two straighter and perhaps more intense poems. I began writing some years ago with a whole string of dramatic monologues. I'd wanted to be able to project myself into a number of attitudes very far from my own, in particular, as absorbed by the idea of what one might call, for want of a better phrase, fascist psychology, and particularly Nazi psychology. And I wrote several poems, which were monologues spoken by Nazis, in which the object was to avoid, if possible, pulling any punches or introducing any sort of liberal commentary. In other words, I wanted to produce a poem that, if listened to by the Nazi, would strike him as far as possible as a faithful expression of his own attitudes. The object of this being to enable the reader to make his own judgments. This technique, of course, was, I suppose, the main one behind all of Browning's poetry, and it's been extensively used since by people like Lowell here and many other poets. This poem is called The Disciple. It's a fairly long one, and it's about a man who worked in a concentration camp. I wore a black band. I thought they would crucify him in jail. The word broke from his agony in the cells. I woke transfigured by incarnate will. When he walked out alive, I knew that he was our savior. I remember his burned face, sharp in a nimbus of blurred light, against the taut flags when he spoke to our massed lifted hands at the rally. I knelt chilled by the bare marble before the fed flame for his dead martyrs. I knew in my caught heart we must all repeat his suffering. I wept the oath. I was dedicated to the stern commitments of a snapped order. I swore to purify my blood of evil. I accepted the fires of hell on earth. Each uniform I wore was as my flesh. Its coarse fibers were burned by evil, scraped bare of dust of evil, encrusted with excrement of evil. I breathed evil and the stench of the bean soup we drank, the bags of charcoal I unheaped for the furnaces, the pit of my soul. When I raked the ovens or even touched a spade, I felt sick. I vomited when I saw the pyramid of their bodies for the first time. When a crying child stretched out her arms to me, I was moved to sweep her clear of the doors. I was not a strong-willed man. I fought to do the hard thing well, but the evil within me fought back. I lay awake, hearing them scream. I committed the sin of pity for evil every time I touched their brittle limbs. In my dreams, I was watching my infant sister, crawled on by stick insects with human faces. Gas was like incense. It drowned corruption. In the wind, or in cylinders to be raised and used, it became a presence more real than his. Above my bed, his tense eyes looked down while I slept, and forgave or condemned. His enormous words on the air proved that he still existed and surely cared. But I held a scarred image close to my heart, which showed him massacred in the streets by the blood of evil. I walked in the foul heresy of admiring his weakness more than his rise to power. But I groped my way back. The laceration of conscience began to ease, and the toil of confronting the evil in others began to confront the evil in me. I was helped. I confessed my doubts. I endured the controlling speech and hands of those more sure in their faith than I. And by grace, I recovered my sanity and was purified in body and spirit. Behind a locked door, in a blaze of light on a plain slate floor, my schism was healed by the salt of fear. I have no stain left to scar. I cut into your wire a saved man. I am freed from sin by the mechanism of holy justice. I heard of his death as if the meaning of life had been for a moment suspended, but felt no grief. I have shed my heavy cross and abide my end in peace of spirit. Hey, nasty man.